I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verses 1 till 11. Luke 5, 1 till 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him, his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it teaches us each and every day. We pray that our minds and our hearts be open to you, Father. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So, who among us does not like to try new things? Good. Who doesn't like adventure? I see a hand there trying. My wife and I, we always like to try new things. We always try to have some adventure, and we just enjoy experiencing life. And today we're going to look at adventure. We're going to look at it through the scripture, but we're also going to look at some clips from a movie called Up. Has anyone seen that Disney movie called Up? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Okay, good. So good. I don't have to do a lot of explaining. A lot of cartoon movies fans here. Huh? A lot of movie fans here. I love movies, and I like also sometimes when you watch stuff, you see a connection and between that movie and faith. And I'd like to share that with us this morning. So for those of us who did not see this movie, as this film begins, we find a man named Carl. He's not ready to accept any kind of change. He and his beloved wife, Ellie, grew up together as children, and as adults had always planned to travel to Paradise Falls. They always dreamed of adventure. But as happens, you know, life simply got in the way. It happens to all of us. And Ellie got sick. She passed away before they could realize their dream. Now, rather than adapting to a new life, Carl tried to continue their old life together, remaining in the same house, doing the same routine, even though all the houses around them, you know, were being developed. He stayed in the same place. And one day, an incident with a construction worker who was working on a work site next to his house caused him to lose his temper and, you know, as I say to my daughter, act a little bit badly. As a consequence to his bad behavior, a judge insisted that he moves to an old people's home, and that place is called Shady Acres. And Carl, by profession, was a balloon salesman. So as a result to this call or this judgment, he acts in an unexpected way. And that's actually going to be our first clip that we're going to watch. Oh, there's no sound. So these are the people from the old people home trying to take him. And then we see it. He spent his whole night. Here we go.
Hi, Mr. Frederickson. It's me, Russell.
What are you doing out here, kid?
I found the snipe and I followed it under your porch. But this snipe had a long tail and looked more like a large mouse. Please let me in.
No. All right. You can come in.
Thank you. That's enough, thank you.
I've never been in a floating house.
Was he going to Shady Acres or Shady Oaks? I can't remember. Or Acres. I think if this movie was produced in Jerusalem, this idea would not have worked. You know, with the balloons mainly. So this was Russell, the scout who started out trying to earn his helping a senior badge and ends up going with Carl on his adventure to find Paradise Falls. Now, when Russell, just to go a little bit back in the movie, when the little boy Russell knocked on Carl's door the first time, Carl had told him the best way for him to help would be to catch the neighborhood snipe. Now, how many of you here gone snipe hunting? Come on, be honest. Now, there is some fell to that prank. You know, for those of us us unfamiliar with snipe hunting, it's a practical joke. It's very famous in the U.S. And when I was studying there, some students tried to take me snipe hunting. So it's a mythical bird that does not exist. And if you fell for it, then you've joined the thousands of others who did fall for that trick. So Russell was trying to help out Carl by going snipe hunting, and Russell naively fell for that trick. But as the film progresses, Russell is not simply a source of humor, but he becomes a transformative figure and the embodiment of goodness and unconditional love. He continues to care for Carl no matter how badly he treats him. But not only that, he is in constant wonder at their circumstances. No fear. This is what caught me in this movie. No fear, only wonder. So when they land in a jungle a few days' walk from Paradise Falls, Carl and Russell take off walking the house, of course, suspended above them, because Russell says, oh, we can just walk it there. On their adventure, on their walk, they meet all kinds of animals, all sorts of creatures, including a bird that is named Kevin. Russell calls him Kevin. So we're going to watch a second clip, and I want to thank the technicians for helping us with this.
Hi, boy. Don't eat it all. Come on out. Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid, little snipe. Nice snipe. Good little snipe. Nice. Giant snipe. I found the snipe.
Oh, did you?
Are they tall?
Oh, yes, they're very tall.
Do they have a lot of colors?
They do indeed.
Do they like chocolate?
Oh, yeah. Chocolate. Ah, what is that thing?
It's a snipe.
That thing is a snipe.
But you said snipe. Whoa.
Go on, get out of here. Come on, come. Careful, Russell.
Hey, look, Mr. Peterson. It likes me. Whoa.
Russell.
No, stop that.
Get out of here! Go on, get!
Thank you. Russell showed no fear at the unknown, at the miraculous. Only wonder and compassion does he have for his new friend. Well, Jesus invited the first disciples into such wonder and compassion that early morning at the lake shore. Fishermen, they've been out all night and hadn't caught anything. Jesus says to them, why don't you try over here? Simon Peter says, you know, we're professionals. We've studied fishing 101, you know, we know it. We know what we're doing. And, you know, you're a carpenter turned, you know, teacher, you know. But if you say so, Jesus, if you say so, we'll do it just for you. And a miracle happened. They caught so many fish, their nets began to break. Now, this miracle established Jesus' authority as the Son of God. We all know that. He has It shows his authority over creation. It's not the only miracle in the story. You know, some people think they know more about fish than God. And you could replace the word fish with anything you like. Some people think they know about life, more about life than God. Some people think they know more about finances than God. Some people even think they know more about love than God. It happens to all of us sometimes. It's not that we actually think we know more than God. It's just that we behave in that way sometimes. We hear God's instructions just as he gave them to Peter. He gave him certain instructions. But, you know, we know more. God gives us instructions. He says, forgive everyone. Bless those who curse you. Give abundantly. Visit the sick. Visit the jails. Remember the Sabbath. You know, it's a day for family and worship, not for catching up on work. And why does God give us these instructions? Why did he give Peter these instructions? Because he wants to bless us abundantly. He wants our nets to start to break and our boats to start to sink. That's how much he wants to bless us. But what do? We ignore God's invitation to abundance. We say to God by our actions, I know more about relationships, more about healing, more about forgiveness, more about money, more about love than you do, God. And it was Simon Peter at this critical intersection we all come to over and over in our lives that decided that he did not know everything, that his present emptiness and frustration had made him ready to learn. So the second miracle in this story is that Simon decided that God was God and that he would live that way beginning immediately. And that's exactly the decision we need to make for our lives today. Do we believe truly and absolutely that God is God? Do we trust in God's power and grace enough to follow him each and every day? If our faith is sure and grounded in the amazing and unrelenting love of God in Jesus Christ, then we have nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing to fear in answering that call with a resounding yes. To say yes, I will follow Jesus on the greatest adventure of life. I will trust in God and not in myself. I will admit to myself and to others, my soul yearns for God. My soul yearns for guidance and strength beyond my human capacity. Because simply, I don't know everything. I will trust in God for the assurance that my actions live out the great commandments to love God and one another each and every day. We need to say clearly and boldly, we are willing to follow Jesus so that our imaginations will open us to adventures and wonders that challenge our expectations. Adventures and wonders that hold open the possibilities of seeing God's hand at work in our lives and the lives of those around us. We need to believe that Jesus still shows up at the end of a work day, just as he did with the fishermen, and surprises us, and we can find our lives changed forever. Do we still believe that? That Jesus can appear at the end of a work day and surprise us? The choice is ours, but it's not a choice between following God and following our own instincts. No, that's a false choice. Or that's not the choice, actually. Does anyone know Bob Dylan here? Yeah? Good. Singer and songwriter Bob Dylan once wrote about his encounter with God, with Jesus. He said, Jesus tapped me on the shoulder and said, Bob, why are you resisting me? Bob said, I'm not resisting you. Then God said to him, are you going to follow me? And Bob says, I've never thought about it. And he heard God saying to him, when you're not following me, you're resisting me. Profound, isn't it? If we are not following Jesus, we are resisting Jesus. And I'm going to talk about two important ways. These are not the only two ways in which we resist God, but these are the two that I found in this movie, or illustrated in this movie. We resist God first by having a misguided loyalty to the past. And secondly, we are reluctant to demonstrate love in the present. A misguided loyalty to the past and reluctant to demonstrate love in the present. And they go hand in hand with each other. When we hold on tightly to which we had or we had loved, which we have trusted, which we adored, be it a child who's grown up or a work situation we have outgrown and we just don't want to let go of, or a relationship that is no longer healthy, or any number of life situations, when we deny the need to let go, deny the ability of God to bring forth something new in our midst, because simply we are resisting change, because we think we know more about fish than God. That's the same, or actually that is the definition of resisting God. If we cut ourselves from growth, from adventure with God, with Christ, from new experiences of love and life, we are resisting God. When we fail to trust, and we shut God down, we resist God's amazing grace and love. When we are reluctant to love, we limit God's ability to transform us. We are God's hands and feet in the world. And when we are reluctant to love, we limit God's transformative power in our lives, but also His ability to transform our community, because He uses us to transform the communities. And if we are reluctant to love, then our communities will not be changed. But when we say yes to God, I will follow you with a glad and joyful heart. I will love you and my neighbors and work to build the kingdom of peace and justice for all of God's children. When we embrace that adventure, which is God's love, God's love can flow freely, and we are transformed. Our communities are transformed when we say yes to love. And it was love that finally actually released Carl in this movie from clinging to the past and allowing him to love in the present. We're going to show one final clip because you were all so good and you were listening to me, so I'm going to treat you to one last clip. So in this final clip, Russell runs away to help Kevin. There we go. Thanks for the adventure. Now it's time for you to have a new adventure. That's the message that Ellie left for Carl in her adventure book, or their adventure book. It's time for you to have a new adventure, to love, to live a new life. Ellie released Carl to cherish the memories of their life together, not to forget them, but to cherish them, while building a new life in which he loves Carl and becomes like his adopted grandfather. Sorry to spoil the movie for those who did not see it. And it was in the same way on that day when Jesus ascended into heaven. He released his disciple into the world, and he releases us into the world to love, to be his hands and feet, to be Christ embodied on earth. So, my brothers and sisters, what is the new adventure God is calling you to this day? How is Jesus saying to you, follow me, in a new way in your life? In what way, in what new way is God calling you to step out of your comfort zone and love others so that we might build the kingdom of God? As you think about these questions and meditate, and as you pray and discern the answer, know that Jesus does not ask any of us to go alone. Look around you. We have the body of Christ. We have each other. But not only that, we have His Spirit with us, guiding us and showing us the way. Jesus gathered His disciples to be support, and we have the community of Christ to support us so that we can all journey together and support one another on our great adventure with Christ. Amen. Amen.
How many are ready to start an adventure? No matter what age we are, I think we need to be ready to start that adventure with the Lord. And I think it's wonderful to hear one of the indigenous believers in Jesus from this land of centuries. And I know that there's Messianic believers and Arab believers that are from the roots of this land. And we've heard a message that is a call to love, a call to follow the Lord wherever He leads us. And I don't know about you, but I want to go hand in hand with Shahadi and our brothers and sisters from this land, and together discover what the Lord has in store for us. We're going to sing a song in closing, and we're going to commit this time to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to check out that movie Up after seeing just an excerpt of it today, and it reminds me of my own father. I got word this week that he only has several months to live, and so I'll be facing a transition too. Of course, we've had our life here, and my father has had his life in Los Angeles, California, but just to know that he won't be there will be a big step in. And I will be able to live in the past, but I'll have to press on with the Lord and with our family around us here. So it's good to think about transitions and how are we going to face them. And I think this story of Up portrays a very deep message to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you that you are here this morning in a very profound and deep way. We thank you, Lord, for the message of Shahadi and his life and the calling he's had to minister to his neighbors and to the especially the Muslim peoples, Lord. And Lord, you've equipped him with the language, with so much that we pray that there'll be many open doors to speak into the lives of people that need transformation, people that need to have hearts of flesh made out of hearts of stone. And Lord, we pray that for the peoples on this side of the Jordan River as well. We pray for our Israeli neighbors and friends as well, that you give them new hearts, vision, understanding, revelation of who you are, because in you there is peace and joy and fulfillment. We love you. We bless you. We pray that if there are any here today who have yet to make that all-important step, that they will take this opportunity to call upon you and know you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Bless one another, greet one another, and go in peace. Amen.